This is Scott Becker with the Becker Private Equity Podcast. Thrilled today to be joined by Matt Wolf. Matt's a leader at RSM. RSM's a leader in the private equity due diligence and sell side area, and just really one of the great consulting and accounting firms in the country. I think the fifth or sixth largest in the world today. Matt, we're going to talk today about SPACs. All of a sudden, everybody's talking about special purpose acquisition companies, SPACs. Can you take it away and tell us why has this become such a thing and such a huge thing right now?
Happy to. Thanks for having me on, Scott. I think the perspective that we're seeing and hearing in the marketplace is that SPACs are so popular because it's, in a way, democratizing those IPO gains that traditionally only institutional investors had received, right? That sort of day one, call it 10, 20, maybe 30% pop. This is a vehicle for other investors, you know, particularly retail investors, to access that. And when you combine that with the fact that compared to 20 years ago, we have about half as many public companies as we once did, retail investors particularly are looking for opportunities to see some returns. They're flush with cash. Household balance sheets have never been stronger, over $1.5 trillion of excess savings on household balance sheets. They want some of those returns too. And, you know, SPACs have been around for a long time, but they're gaining popularity because people have found a way to kind of democratize those day one IPO gains that used to be really the purview only of institutional investors.
Got it. So recently, a fund approached me with a SPAC to invest in. Got it. Now, I didn't really have context for it that you're giving me. And they basically said they'll take a management fee, they'll take a piece of the profits, I'll get to invest in it, but I'll get to invest in the company pre-IPO. So before the company goes public, they're expected to go public next year or two, they're expected to be one of these, you know, booming, fantastic things that goes public and makes a fortune. So that's where they came to us with a SPAC, and they offered a chance to invest in a handful of us. Now I sort of understand it. Of course, on that particular investment, which will probably be a home run, they were ultimately not able to close their deal to buy the shares in the company. So it didn't end up happening. But instead of private equity funds getting all those pre-IPO shares, this gives another opportunity for different people to invest in these companies pre-IPO where they're still private. Fascinating. Will this be, and then the SPAC, whoever operates and manages the SPAC, it gets a fee structure and a piece of the profits, not too different than private equity funds got. So you hope the stock goes up, and you know you're giving away 20% of the upside or some percentage of the upside to the SPAC, or the operators of the SPAC. Will this become overwhelming amounts of these? Is this just a way to rip off retail investors, or is this a way to help retail investors? What is your sense of where this is going? I mean, every day now, like a different colleague that I know reported yesterday that they raised a $270 million SPAC to invest in healthcare IT companies. You know, he'd never been in the SPAC business. So is this something that's going to be just a, you know, a huge growth, or is this just a top of the market type of thing that at some point will die away as the country comes back to sanity?
That's a trillion-dollar question and a great one, Scott. I believe that they will be around for some time. The question on my mind is not if the SEC will probe more into this vehicle, but really when. You know, as I said, the idea of the special purpose acquisition company has been around for a long time, but really seldom used until kind of late 2019 or so. So this is definitely something that I'm probably already looking into, and we'll hear more about the future of that. I know, you know, one of the reasons it's so popular for companies to go public this way is because the entire sort of due diligence pre-IPO phase is viewed as less stringent than a traditional IPO. Some of those, the S-4 is different than the S-1, and the filing requirements are viewed to be less stringent. And I think, you know, that'll particularly be an area of interest for the SEC as well, as they look to kind of protect and, you know, fulfill their mandate and create an equitable market with information that kind of protects investors.
Right. So the SPACs are being pitched largely to accredited investors, but even though they're accredited investors, they're much less sophisticated than at least a segment of accredited investors that are either super rich or super what have you, or institutionally backed. And so they're being pitched to accredited investors, but those could be people that are, you know, do fine, but aren't so rich that they've had so much sophisticated financial guidance. And they're viewed as another way to sort of get in the game. And everybody sees these IPOs go public. These companies have crazy valuations. So everybody sort of wants to get in the game. Nobody wants to be left on the sidelines. So there's a lot of appetite for this stuff from a retail perspective, isn't there?
Absolutely. And that's really what we're tracking too. And even if you don't get in at the initial kind of accredited level investor, you know, once they get their ticker, even as a retail investor, you can still buy in. You know, by then maybe the share price has gone from $10 to $10.30 or something like that. But you know, the initial gains that we've seen have been really incredible. And as long as that is sustained, you know, I would expect, barring any sort of regulatory involvement, that appetite for these vehicles from all sectors, all capital areas, will continue in the future.
Let me ask you a question. I feel like I'm the kind of investor that's only offered this kind of stuff when the market has completely crested. You know, it must be past the top if people are offering these opportunities. Is that a wrong perspective? Is there just a lot of run rate left, or is that the trillion-dollar question we're just talking about?
I think it's part of that. I think the other aspect of that question, though, is the supply of private companies that would make for good SPAC targets, right? Certainly there are good private companies that will exist that have no interest, have no desire, have no need to be public, whether it's a traditional IPO or a SPAC, and that's fine. That will always exist. And, you know, I think another element of the question you just asked is there a point at which the well doesn't dry up but begins to run dry of private companies that are good SPAC candidates? And that'll kind of temper some of the activity at some point in the future.
And they have enough value that the SPAC promoters, sponsors, advisors can do well enough with it that it's worth going after. They can get a big enough stake in X or Y or Z that there's upside enough for them, there's management fees enough for them, and so forth. There's got to be enough of these big unicorn-type private companies to make it all worthwhile. What a fascinating discussion. What a fascinating situation. Just, of course, we're all sort of learning about it. We're all sort of seeing new structures being pitched to people that include SPAC opportunities that really weren't seeing very much of that before. So interesting. Matt, I want to thank you as always for joining the Becker Private Equity Podcast. Just terrific. Matt Wolf from RSM, thank you very much.
Thank you, Scott.